I thank you for allowing me to be on a little bit of a break, a vacation last week. It was good. It was restorative. Good to be with families and friends. And I don't know about you, but when I'm tired, I have a hard time remembering. Has that ever happened to you? You're so tired, it's hard to remember. And I have this tendency to be stubborn when I am tired, to just march on through my day in denial, and not even considering that I might be just a wee bit overtired. I'm kind of stubborn like that. And so this past week, upon being back, I had one of those sneaky Jesus moments when I read the psalm for today. And in my Bible, it begins with the title, God's Appeal to Stubborn Israel. Yep, sneaky Jesus. Indeed, Jesus' commandments and all of God's laws are for the purpose of mitigating the bad behavior which results from our stubbornness. I'll do it my way, I say. Thank you very much, and I have this attitude. And it begins with believing that I know what's best for me. I know when I need rest and time off. And perhaps I do indeed forget the third commandment. So I wonder, how much attention do we all pay to the third commandment? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And how do we live it out in our context today? Walter Brueggemann writes in his book, Sabbath as Resistance, that for the most part, contemporary Christians pay little attention to the Sabbath. Perhaps you grew up with blue laws. Do you remember those? For those of you not old enough to remember blue laws, they were the laws in place that kept stores and businesses closed on Sundays. And then they started, when I was probably in college, to open it, things like the mall would open up from 12 o'clock to 6 o'clock. You know, we try to get our parents. We just needed something at the mall. And I remember also that baseball games, or if there were games in the summer, would not begin until 6 o'clock at night in observance of the blue laws. And then my German grandparents, who are farmers, stubborn German grandparents, would have this debate about whether you could harvest on Sunday, because my grandpa would know that hail or devastating rain was on the way. And so what? It was this dilemma. What do you do? Do you work on Sundays or not? But mostly I remember the third commandment was pulled out as an argument when deciding or not deciding to let us kids go somewhere or do something on a Sunday afternoon. And the sum of all those memories of restraint was basically a negative, a series of thou shalt nots. And served to echo all the prohibitions of the Ten Commandments that were taught to us in Sunday school. We are a stubborn people. So how do we look at Sabbath in a positive way, as an affirmative declaration of faith, identity, and action? Is Sabbath what we think? If you have a Pew Bible or brought your own Bible, I'd like you to open in the Pew Bibles, I believe it's on page 35, Mark's Gospel. And I want us to read this first sentence together. It begins with these words. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Let's say that together. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All right, and our story today is told from chapter 2, but I want you to hang on to that piece, because good news, how is this good news when our story today starts in conflict? We have these two stories side by side, and we're only in chapter 2, but we find ourselves in the midst of Jesus' counterpoint to religious rules and regulations. So Jesus and his disciples are walking through a wheat field, picking grain for eating, clearly breaking the Sabbath. And then Jesus is healing a man with a crippled hand. And both are occasions for the Pharisees, the keepers of the law, to raise eyebrows and questions. Is it reasonable for the Pharisees to stubbornly enforce these rules and begrudge a hungry disciple a handful of grain, or someone who has lived with a birth defect? in the midst of God? Is there any benefit to complaining about that miraculous healing just because it happens to be on Sabbath? So Jesus is generating a great conflict in this passage, and we know by the end of the story, because Mark's gospel is the shortest in our four gospels, the march to the cross is quick. And there are many opposing groups who are collaborating to kill him. And on one level, the conflict seems to be over the observance of Sabbath. But what I believe Jesus is really offering here is a new vision of life and a new vision of God. He is proclaiming in word and in deed a new way of understanding what God is. Jesus is proclaiming that God is not confined to our rules about God or about our way of perceiving God, that Jesus is reconfiguring our relationship with God. Not just as individuals, we all live in systems and in structures of society as well. So a reconfiguration was and still is very threatening. What is apparent is that Jesus, like God who instituted the Sabbath, is committed to preserving life. So sleep and rest are needed, and they're made for the refreshment of our bodies and minds, but Sabbath rest is more than a nap. Sabbath rest is life-oriented and life-giving, or at least that's what God had in mind. God rests at the end of creation so creation can continue. And the Sabbath is created for life, and God rests for the sake of life. Not for a break, not for some time off or time out, not for a job well done, not just to recoup and regroup, not for the completion of work, a work week worthy of reward, not because we've earned it, but because rest is needed. Rest is essential. Rest anticipates action for the sake of life once again. And when the Sabbath is for the sake of life, then it means getting back in there and figuring out where life needs to happen. So what difference does Sabbath make in your life? How can Sabbath keeping create a Sabbath perspective? And what I mean by that, a Sabbath perspective sees that observing the Sabbath is not optional. We keep Sabbath not only because we need rest, but so that we can look around and ask, who else needs rest? Who else needs restoration? Who is in need of life when no one else seems to notice? We keep Sabbath to be reminded that without it, it becomes too easy to give up fighting for whom life has been taken away. And it's hard work these days to be heedful of those lives who need restoration, healing, and wholeness. It's hard work these days to be persistent, acting with love, and keep in mind when day after day the face of hate and fear fills and gains, it seems like it's gaining the upper hand. We don't have to look far. As school shootings continue with no gun legislation in sight, as children are separated from their families at border crossings, and those whose identity is different than ours are regulated against without representation and are seen as less than, it seems clear that Sabbath perspective is barely in the peripheral vision of those supposedly in charge of sustaining life. Dr. Carolyn Lewis, homiletics professor at Luther Seminary, says, "We need a recommitment to Sabbath life. A Sabbath perspective, not just reasons to take a long weekend or plan that long overdue vacation. A Sabbath perspective that reorients us to enter into Monday, enter into a new week looking for ways in which we might renew and restore the lives of others." In the aftermath of the shooting at Santa Fe, Texas, David Furman, The Atlantic, writes, "This carelessness and disregard is taking lives and breaking families. And the first step toward correcting a social wrong is opening people's eyes to see that wrong. America has now tallied still more victims and broken the hearts of still more mourners. And it's a horrible price to pay for moral reckoning and awakening. But the history of the nation promises that while the awakening may often come tragically slow, it comes in time, and with all the powers of justice delayed but not denied." Just as the Pharisees were in need of an awakening to how their rigid keeping of the Sabbath law was harmful to those who were vulnerable in need of restoration, we too need a Sabbath awakening so that we do not ignore those around us in need of rest from their burdens as well. We need to be told again and again that Sabbath is not just for our personal well-being, but for the abundant life of others. So if we keep the Sabbath, we don't get to overlook those whose lives are being threatened on a daily basis. If we keep the Sabbath, we don't get to ignore how the lives of others are being stripped of their worth and dignity. If we keep the Sabbath, we don't have qualifiers or quantifiers regarding who deserves abundant life. After all, Jesus didn't ask the man with the withered hand if he had been sick long or if he had a pre-existing condition. He just told him to stretch out his hand, and he was restored. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. To remain tireless, relentless, and persistent in our pursuit of life for all requires the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath, but do not be stubborn in this, but keep it holy, so that life is indeed kept holy for all. Amen.